8 cuvinte am de spus. If the gospel was so easy as just raising your hand, there would be a lot of people in heaven. But it's not as easy as just raising your hand, is it? So I'm going to try tonight to talk about something that is very important to the experience of the Christian life, something that is paramount to our salvation. And that is hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. And our example for hearing the voice of God is going to come out of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. Or verse 10, thank you. Samuel chapter 3. Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Amen. I want you to touch the person next to you and say, "Here I am." Is everybody here tonight? Amen. Are we all present tonight? It's important to be here and not somewhere else thinking about the soup that you left on the oven, if you forgot to turn off the stove, if you forgot to lock the door to the house. Stop worrying about the exam you're going to have tomorrow. Stop thinking about that big job that you have to do next week. You don't know if you're going to finish it. And just be here in the presence of God. Amen. It's important to be here, and it's important to understand the way God speaks when we are here, when we're present, and the importance of hearing from God, how you hear from the Lord. How many of us in this room tonight, how many of us in the church, at one point in our lives, have we received a vision, a dream, a word, an impression, something that where we understood that God was speaking to us? How many of you tonight can say you've had that? Where you heard from God? A vision, a dream, a voice, an inspiration? Just a few people? Many of us have. As a matter of fact, this is not an unusual experience in our world. Gallup poll did a poll about a few years ago, and they came out with a result that 38% of people living in America have heard from God, have heard a word from God. 38%. That's 118 million people that have heard from God. 2 out of 5 people, if you go in the street and you ask, 2 out of 5 people will tell you that they've heard from God something. They've had a word from God. It's not an unusual experience to hear from God. And God speaks all the time. He's speaking to us all the time. Are we here and present and willing to listen? Some of the things that are really important to understand before we describe how God spoke to Samuel, I think it's very important to understand a little bit about the background of Samuel and the time that he was living in. You see, we often think that in order to hear from God, you have to be at the right place at the right time. So we tend to have this mentality of, if I only go to that place, or if I only hang out with those people, or if somehow, somewhere, if I call the right phone number, or if I talk to the right people, God will speak to me. And we tend to have this mentality, even as Christians, that we have to be at the right place at the right time to receive a word from God. But Samuel, we can say he was at the right place. I'm not so sure if he was at the right time to hear from God in Israel, because the word of the Lord says that the word of God was rare in those days. The word of God was rare in those days, and there were no frequent visions. Even the last line of that is poignant when it says that even the light, the enlightened wisdom, the light of God was dim in God's house. So what happens when we're living in a time where the word of the Lord isn't so often, or we think we're living in a place where the word of God is not heard, it is rare. That's the place he was living at. That's where he was. Also, very important to know is in verse 7, Samuel says, "It did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." He did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. But wait a second. I have a problem with this, right? Because it says that the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. So where was he? What was he doing? He was ministering to the Lord, right? More importantly, where was he? He was in the temple. He was actually near the Ark of the Covenant, near the very presence of God. Yet he did not know God, and the Lord and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, when you look in the original Hebrew, that word there "and" is important, because it's what it means in the original Hebrew is because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel didn't know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It's a parallel construction there. One points to the other. You need to hear the word of God in order for you to know God. You need to hear the word of God in order for you to learn to know God. Now, let me ask you this. Does the devil hear the word of God? So the devil knows the word of God, yes? Does the devil believe the word of God? Now, does the devil fear the word of God? Yes. So if the devil knows, and the devil believes, and the devil fears the word of God, and if all of us here tonight, we can say, yes, we all know the word of God, we believe the word of God, and we fear the word of God, is that enough? What are we better than the devil, right? If it's not just knowing, it's not just believing, and it's not just fearing. It's about action. It's about obeying. And Samuel is really responding with action. He really responds with action. He doesn't question what he should do. He hears something, he immediately goes to Eli, because he doesn't yet know the word of God. He doesn't yet know how God speaks. And many of us are at that stage right now in life where we don't know exactly how God is speaking. So oftentimes the word of the Lord is confusing. And we say, well, I wonder if it's my own intuition. I wonder if it's just my interpretation of things. I wonder if it's just that particular person trying to influence me. I wonder if there's so many other factors that you should take into consideration. So many of us are at a stage in our life where we don't yet know God because we haven't heard his word. And I want us to really ask ourselves this question tonight. And I'm not trying to get you to question your salvation, whether or not you feel like you're saved, or whether or not you... I believe all of you here tonight have, at one point in your life, had an encounter with God and have heard the voice of God. But is this voice of God present in your life today? Do you hear from God? We are in a month of fasting and prayer. We're taking time to stay before the Lord, to prepare ourselves spiritually and to come together as a church. And one of the most important things that we can do as a church is to go down before the Lord and say, God, please speak to us. God, reveal yourself to us through your word. Reveal yourself to us through your word. See, Samuel was living in a time when God's activity was a distant memory, when it was just a flickering light that was we just remember. There was a time when God spoke. A fost un timp în România undeva pe vremuri când Dumnezeu vorbea. There was a time when God spoke. There was a time when there were prophecies. There was a time when people were being healed. There was a time. And maybe not so far away, you can remember, there was a time in Emmanuel when God spoke. There was a time. And we keep thinking that somehow this God speaking is tied to some particular time or some particular place. And it's exactly what Satan tried to tempt Jesus with in his ministry. If you remember, let's go back to even the first temptation, the first Adam. What was it that the devil questioned? What was it that the devil put, what doubt did he put in their minds, the first doubt? Did God really speak that you should do this? Did he mean something else? You see, The question that the devil doesn't that comes with comes to us doesn't come with did God speak to you or not? The devil knows that God spoke to you, and he doesn't even want you to believe that he didn't. What the devil works with is he says, well, what if God really meant this? What if he really didn't mean that? What if you can come up with your own interpretation of what God said? Your own interpretation of what God said. It's the same thing that the devil was tempting Christ with, putting doubt. Did God really say that? That was the first temptation. And with Jesus, the same thing. He said, the devil put a great interpretation of Scripture before him, and it said, shouldn't you follow that? You see, the devil comes with your interpretation and with his own interpretation sometimes on Scripture. But Jesus' response to the devil was a mere image of the temptation of the serpent in the garden. Has God said, you will surely die? The serpent asks. And Jesus' exact answer to that is, you don't live by bread alone. You don't live by bread alone. But with every word that proceeds directly from the mouth of God. And it's important to understand that it's not necessarily the content that we're speaking about here. As a matter of fact, the content in Samuel, the word that God gave to Samuel was absolutely bad. Was the worst thing you could have received as a prophet for your first prophecy to receive, to go and tell your mentor, to go and tell the person that God put over you that his whole house is going to be erased. And that there was going to be a punishment that would come for Eli and his sons. I mean, that was a real career breaker for him. And the word of God says that he was afraid, that he stayed until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell the vision. He was afraid to tell. I mean, I just think about the kind of stuff this kid must have went through, must have thought about. I'll be blacklisted. These guys, Eli's sons, are powerful people in the government. They're powerful people in society. Just think about my poor mother. I mean, she received the promise that I would be a child in the house of God, and here I am prophesying this negative, this complete negative vision from God. So it's not the content necessarily that is interested that God is interested in Samuel here. More importantly, it's the process. More importantly, is Samuel willing, is Samuel able to deliver that? So when God is working in Samuel's life, and when he's working in your life, and when he's working in my life, God is worried more about the process than the content. We keep thinking about the content. How should we put things? How should we package the message that God gave us in such a way that we don't offend people, so that it's not offensive? So I'm so tired as a Christian of Christians who are afraid of being offensive, especially at your place of work, at school. You don't want to offend anybody. God spoke to you about something. God told you something, but you're afraid. What if I tell that person and they're offended? Well, let me break it to you guys. The world isn't offended. They're not offended to take God out of schools. That's not offensive. They're not offended about sexuality. They're not offended about homosexuality. They're not offended about that. It's not offensive to kill babies in the mother's womb. That's not offensive to the world. But you speak about God, and that's offensive. 38%, guys, 38%. 92% of the people, when asked, do you believe in God, they said yes. 38%. Said they heard from God. Do you think you're the only person in the world that hears from God? Do you think you're the only person that receives revelation? Don't be offended. If God tells you something, do not be offended to deliver the message. Do not be afraid. Let God do the rest. You see, when Samuel delivers this death sentence to Eli and his household, Eli's response is, this is God. This is God. He recognizes that this is God. See, a lot of times you think God doesn't speak to people, and he only speaks to a certain few. But he speaks to anyone. He can choose to speak to anyone. And if you deliver the message, let God do the rest. Don't worry about whether they'll receive it, whether they'll throw you out, whether they'll cast you out, whether they'll rebuke you, whether you'll lose a friend. I'm tired of Christians being offended, right, church? Why isn't the world offended? We should stop being afraid. I was in a Starbucks not too long ago, and I was in line, and I came to the cashier, and there was this sweet middle-aged Mexican lady serving. Usually they're not middle-aged Mexicans at Starbucks, but this one was a really sweet Hispanic lady at the Starbucks, and her name was, I read her name on the name tag, and her name was Alma. And I was waiting for my coffee, and God revealed the word to me, pray for her daughter, pray for her daughter. I never met this person before. I told her, I said, do you have a daughter? She said, yes. And I said, is she about this tall? She said, yes. She's about 12, somewhere maybe 14 years old. She said, yes. Her eyes were beginning to well up with tears at this point. I said, God told me to pray for her. She started crying. There were people in line waiting for their lattes. God told me to pray for her. She said, is she going to be okay? And I said, yes. God told me they're just going to do an operation. It's going to be okay. She'll come out of it. Don't worry. This woman was in tears. I didn't know what I was saying. God just took over me. But you see, that's hearing from God. And I'd like to live like that every day if I could. I'm not saying that that's what happens to me every single day of my life, but I would love those moments all the time because it's important to hear from God. so many missed opportunities out there when we hear from God. So many missed, we just brush it off. Was it God? What was it? Who was it? Who spoke to us? It is the paramount experience as a Christian. Do you hear from God? And that's what I want to ask you, and that's what I want to leave you with tonight. You see, in John chapter 5, 37, Jesus addressed one of the biggest issues that actually would face future generations and this church today, our church today, was that we often mistake hearing from God about and having a relationship with God for information about God. So we think that if we tell people about God, if we tell them, hey, this is a five-step process to Christianity, this works every time, and it's going to end with you raising your hand up to God and saying, I give you my life, Lord. And then we do the numbers, and we count them, and we bring them in the church. Some of them even end up getting baptized, but they've never really had an encounter with God. So one of the biggest problems that we're facing, even in Christianity today, is that people are being indoctrinated, and they're given information instead of intimacy, instead of experiencing God. So what we want as a church and what we want as believers and what we believe in is that God is alive and he works in our life today. Amen? So if we believe this, why don't you, when you talk to that person you've been praying for, or when you were hoping for that thing, for the miracle in your life, why don't you just say, test God out. You've got your own prayer line. Test God out. You know, a lot of times when I minister to people about God, it's really easy. A lot of people just talk themselves into heaven. You don't even have to go through a 12-step process. They will reveal, as they're speaking, their problems, and God will point exactly. If you're listening, most of our conversations with God and here and our intimacy with God comes from 80% of us talking all the time and just maybe 20% listening. But if you just listen and listen to the people and listen what they say, and God will show you the issue where you have to touch. God will reveal it to you. Just pray, even as they're talking, just pray. As they're revealing stuff, as God is opening them up, and you'll hear like a voice, and you'll feel it like an impression in your heart that will shudder and say, "That is it. That's the problem. That's what you have to touch on. That's what you have to pray for." And sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes all you have to do is say, "Listen, you don't believe in God, or maybe you're having trouble in your life, but listen. Tell me, let's pick a problem and let's pray for it. Just give me anything in your life. What are you praying for right now? Let's believe that God will resolve this problem. Let's pray for it together. Try it. I dare you to try it. I dare you to go out there and try this and ask people, let me just pray for you. Don't give them the 12-step process to the gospel. Just say, do you want to learn and do you want to see the living God in your life? Let's try it. Amen? Amen? It's not about information. It's not about how much you know God. The devil knows God, right? It's not about how much Bible you know, although I hope we all know Bible and Scripture. But you see, in Jesus' time, and this is what I'm going to close with, there was a whole industry of religionists who believed that there was no more voice of God, that it was locked up in the Torah, who actually said everything God had to say was locked up in this thing right here that is behind me. Okay? Now, this is something that I'm going to say that may be a little sensitive to some of us. We've replaced that with this many times. So we come to church thinking we're going to hear from God. And yes, we do hear from God, and the pastor does preach, but we go home and we have no revelation, and we have no word from God, and the word that is being preached, the word that is being taught here, doesn't actually take life. So it's not, we didn't make a long step from here to here, if that's all our Christian life is all about. It's not locked up in there, guys, and it's definitely not in this pulpit. The word of God is alive in your life. And if you believe it, you will go and test it out. And you will go out there, and you will, and the people you will speak to will be healed. Demons will be freed. People will be turned to God. That's because that's what you believe in. And God will speak to you and will speak to that problem. Next time you meet in the parking lot, it's not going to be church gossip anymore. It's not going to be about, did you see how she's dressing? Did you see what they're doing? It's going to be, what did God say to you? Amen? That's what it's going to be all about. All right, I'm starting to preach now. Finally, after 30 minutes, right? So test the word of God in your life. It's not about knowing information. Jesus said, you have not heard his voice, John chapter 5, verse 37. This is his response to the scribes, to the rabbis. You have not heard his voice, you have not seen his form, nor visions. And the word of God does not dwell in your heart. And their response was, what are you talking about? We know scripture by heart. We've memorized the whole Bible. We know everything. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. So I'd like us to just, in closing, go with this thought. What are we searching for and where are we? And hopefully we're in a good place by the altar where God's light hasn't quite gone out yet and there's still hope. And it hasn't, guys. It hasn't, brothers and sisters. It hasn't. God's light is still flickering in this church, in your home, even though you don't build the altar that God told you to build, but the flame is still there. All you have to do, mother, father, son, daughter, is just take the candle and from light to light to light, let it just form a circle of fire. And let the fire burn with the passion of God. Amen? Amen? And when we do that, you guys are going to see some amazing stuff. Amen.